We come to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for yet again another opportunity to get to know you better through your word, get to know you better through your voice and your different ways that you speak to us. Father, Lord, I pray that you will open up our hearts, open up our minds, so that we can receive a word with intention to obey it, with intention to allow it to encourage us and strengthen us and inspire us, so that we can be more like you and help your people, and therefore you receive all the praise and all the glory. God, we pray for forgiveness for any sins. We pray that you'll help us this morning so that we can be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture this morning, I know last week we were in 1 Samuel, and this week we are for sure in 1 Samuel again, 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 3 is where I want to start. And I'm going to skip around a little bit, and once again, for the sake of time, skip some verses, but I believe the Lord has something to encourage us all with this morning. So last week we had talked about David. We had talked about how when he went and cut the robe of Saul, God had led him into the cave and he took a piece of Saul's robe. I believe that was symbolic. I believe that represented that showing Saul that, listen, you're worried about what the people think, but you should only be worried about what I think. And today what I want to talk about is definitely David and Saul again. But I believe God's shown me a couple things. And the second time that Saul was placed into the hands of David, he could have took his life, but David once again spared Saul's life. I want to show you what I believe God has shown me about this scripture. And I want to talk about what this morning is to trust in the Lord. And I know that so many times we hear that phrase, we read the scripture that tells us to trust in the Lord. But I want to talk about the reasons that we should trust in the Lord. You see, I don't have a whole lot of friends, people in my life that I can call on to help me carry something or fix something or whatever it may be. But I've got a couple, and they're really, really good friends. And I know if I need something, I can call them. But if I call them at 2:00 in the morning, if they woke up, would they come help me? Absolutely. But what if their phone was on vibrate? What if they were out of town? And I say these things because there's one person that the Bible says never slumbers. There's one person that the Bible says that will never let go, that sticks closer than a brother. There's one person that's always going to be there for you and me. There's one person that will never, ever, ever disappoint you or me. And that obviously is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think some of the sayings that we have in the church nowadays, we turn them into little cliches and we just say them, but we don't understand the meaning behind them. But when I say trust in the Lord, brothers and sisters, this morning, I mean with all confidence, no matter what it is you're facing, no matter if you're on the mountaintop or no matter if you're at the lowest point in your life you've ever been, trust in the Lord with all your heart, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And the reason I believe God wants us to acknowledge Him is because it gets our focus back on Him. It gets our focus back on the one that can't disappoint, that can't let go, that doesn't want to do these things. You see, I know a lot of us, especially me growing up in a church that pretty much taught me that God was sitting up there with lightning bolts trying to throw them down at me if I messed up. I wasn't really accustomed to the God that was a loving and merciful and long-suffering kind of God. Does that mean we need to take advantage of that? Absolutely not. But does it mean that it's His mercy that wakes me up every morning? Absolutely. Does it mean that He's in love with me and He desires to speak to me and listen to me as much as I desire to speak and listen to Him? Absolutely. God is in love with us. He's so in love with us that He sent His Son Jesus, and on the cross He did that so that He could have communication, so He could put us back in right relationship with the Father. So this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 26, I want to show you what the Lord has shown me that blew my mind, and I was hollering and jumping around because I love it when God shows me things that I've never seen before. So we're 1 Samuel chapter 26. We'll start at verse 3. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hakilah, which is opposite Jeshimon, and I'm sure I'm butchering these words, by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came up after him into the wilderness. Verse 4, David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. The first point I want to take away from Scripture this morning is when we're trusting in the Lord, it's to definitely make sure that we're doing our part. You see, the Bible says that David saw these people come out against him in the wilderness. David himself looked upon Saul coming to attack him, looked upon Saul with his 3,000 choice men coming to take his life. He saw it with his own eyes, but in verse 4, we see, that David sent out spies. Why? David, you saw that he was coming against you. David, you with your own two eyes, you looked upon this attack upon your life. You saw it yourself. So why send out the spies? It's because I believe that when we are talking to God and we're beginning our relationship with the Lord and we're trying to trust God, I believe God wants us to sure see things with our own eyes, but he wants us to confirm things with him. He wants us to do our due diligence, so to speak. He wants us to put in the work it takes to make sure that we're coming after him. You know, people in the Bible would throw out fleeces that they would ask. Hezekiah would ask for the sundial to turn backwards. These different things would happen. These great men and women of faith would still ask God for confirmation. And I believe as we're trusting in the Lord that we have to be like David. Yes, we may see some things, but I'm sure that you and I both know that our eyes will deceive us, that our feelings will deceive us. But if we can entrust in the Lord and do our work, and we can send out the spies to confirm what we see, to confirm what we believe, then I believe every time God will honor that. So in verse 5, the Bible says that David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp with the people encamped all around him. I'm going to skip down to verse 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head, and Abner and the people lay all around him. Verse 8, then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him at once with this spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. Brothers and sisters, could you imagine this situation that David is in? He's already spared the life of Saul because he said, listen, who can touch the Lord's anointed? He comes down to this camp, and I want you to imagine it. People are all around him. Saul is in the dead middle of all these people because he thought he was protected by the people. He thought because of the position that he was in that nothing could harm him. And David had already cut a piece of his robe. So surely it's got to be the will of God for David to take the life of Saul. And David's man is sitting here saying, listen, let me do it. And I'll do it in such a way that I'll kill him with the first blow. Because surely the Lord has delivered him into your hands. This was not Abishai was not a man that was necessarily trying to do anything wrong. He was David's homeboy. He was David's prayer partner. He was David's person that he could count on. He was David's confidant. He was David's best friend, his brother's cousin, whatever it may have been. But he was there for David to do the work of the Lord. But brothers and sisters, how many of us know this morning that we have those people that we trust in our lives, and sometimes they might not understand the decisions we have to make? They might be there to try to encourage us, but I promise you at some point that person can let you down. They can disappoint. And God doesn't want you to go off the scales or go off the road or get out of relationship with Him when somebody hurts your feelings or disappoints you or doesn't do something they say they're going to do. One of the greatest hurts I've ever seen in my life, one of the greatest pains that I've ever in my whole life seen is someone that has what I call church hurt. They've been let down by somebody in the church that they looked up to. They've been lied to or looked over or mistreated or whatever it may be. And sometimes the leader did it not intentionally. They didn't do it on purpose, but it was such a great hurt that I'll have people tell me, I don't go to church anymore. Oh, you know, why? Oh, because so-and-so hurt me or so-and-so didn't pick me or so-and-so didn't do this for me. And my automatic answer is you're not there for them. They're not there for you. We have to keep this thing where we are focused on God. And yes, I love leaders in the church. Yes, I love my brothers and sisters that I can pray with and spend time with. But it is God and God only that has the power to resurrect me on that last day. It is Jesus Christ Himself that had that was the perfect Lamb of God that died on the cross so that I could be redeemed, so that I could have life everlasting in heaven with the Father. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to keep our focus on God. We have to trust in the Lord. Why do we trust in the Lord? Because He is the only one that will not disappoint. David put in his due diligence. David put in the work to know that, yes, this man was truly after him. And immediately he goes down here and he goes right through the people sleeping and he gets to the leader of the people, the one man that's coming to take his life. And he has the ability to kill him. The spear is right there next to his head. And David kills Saul. Absolutely not. David immediately, after, you know, his homeboy here, his brother here is encouraging him. Listen, man, I'll do it for you. You don't even have to do it. You'll be found guiltless. I got you. God has delivered you into his hand. He's pumping up David. He's getting him encouraged. But David, not one time, was swayed by the opinion of man. David, throughout the whole scripture, it didn't matter what the people thought he looked like. It didn't matter that the people thought that he should have done it a different way. It didn't matter that one of his wives thought that he was ridiculous dancing before the Lord, because David said, it was me that God picked before your father Saul. David understood that it was the God that was raising him in the morning and allowing him to lay down at night. David understood that God is the only one that can do the things that I need done. And brothers and sisters, I promise you, I have good news this morning, because I know so many of us trust in so many other things but God. We'll trust in a TV preacher. We'll trust in a drug or a this or that to get us that quick fix. For those of us that's tried to lose weight, I probably tried everything you could possibly imagine. But it's only when I put in hard work, it's only when I make good decisions am I able to lose weight. It's only when I do the things that are not convenient, that's not the easiest for me, that I'm able to gain some ground. Brothers and sisters, sometimes serving God and trusting God is not the greatest opinion of people. A lot of people might not understand why you do it so passionately. I sat in church the other day praising, and I was worshiping, and I looked over in the corner of my eyes and I saw a couple people that weren't expressing anything to God. They were holding their coffee cups and it bothered me, and I'm like, God, what? How can they just sit there? But God quickly reminded me, don't you look at them. Don't you trust in what you see on anything else but me. You see, brothers and sisters, certain people may not praise or worship like you, and that's okay. But I promise you, the quickest way to fix relationships, the quickest way to get healing, the quickest way to get whatever you need is only to trust in the Lord. The Bible says right here in verse 9, Abishai has told David, listen, I'll kill him. Verse 9 says, but David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? So many times I've read that scripture and thought it meant, listen, who can try to do God's people harm? Who can come against the people of God? But that's not what it says. It says, who can stretch out? Who can come against the people of God and be guiltless? There was a second part to that that I never understood before. So when you're going through something in your finances right now, you may be telling God, God, why am I going through? God, I see other people not having to go through. But the Bible says, listen, you're going to go through some things. People are going to stretch out their hand. People are going to come against you and me. But that doesn't mean that we have to give in to that. David said, and be guiltless. It doesn't mean that we don't have to trust in God. It means that, on the contrary, we must trust in God and allow God to be the defender of us. Allow God to be the one that shakes people off of us and takes people out of our past and puts people into our past. Verse 12 says, so David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away, and no man saw or knew it or awoke. Notice that God protected him, because there's no way David and Abishai walked through all these people and nobody woke up. For they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Verse 13, now David went over to the other side and stood on top of the hill afar off, a great distance being between them. And David called out to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, do you not answer Abner? Verse 15, so David said to Abner, are you not a man? And who is like you in all Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. Verse 17, then Saul knew David's voice and said, is that your voice, my son David? David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done? What evil is in my hand? I'm going to skip down just for the sake of time to verse 21. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. Brothers and sisters, the first time that Saul was taken in, or I guess David had the opportunity to kill Saul, he cut the robe because I believe it represented that Saul was only worried about what the people thought. The second time that David came and could have killed Saul, David took the spear that was next to his head and he took the water jug that was close to Saul. Why do I believe he took these two things? Is because I believe that David was showing Saul, listen, man, you've trusted in the opinion of people. You've only been worried about what others think of you. You've slept in the middle of all this great company of people. You've trusted in your army. You've trusted in your friends. You've trusted on these spies. But God has still brought me and delivered you into my hand. So I'm going to take your spear, which I believe represents safety. I believe that David was saying, listen, Saul, you thought this thing could protect you, but only God can keep you. Brothers and sisters, so many of us think our money can protect us. We think it gives us a security blanket, so to speak. We think that if we can be in the right crowd or do this or don't do this or go to this church or only get this one person to pray for us, then that's where our breakthrough is at. But I'm telling you this morning to trust in the Lord. Because when you trust in the Lord, just like he made a deep sleep fall on these people, God will make your crooked path straight. It is only God that can protect you. It is only God that can help you. There's not a drug in this world that can make you feel like the goodness and the anointing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's absolutely no amount of money that can protect you like God can. I sat in the middle of a prison almost 15 years ago. And I had the most happiness, the most joy that I've ever had in my life. Why? Because it was God who was giving it to me. It was God that was delivering. It was God that was healing my family at home. It was God that was healing me of addictions. So David took that spear and he said, listen, you trusted in this, but once again, this cannot do what God did. The second thing that David took from Saul is he took his water jug. Why in the world would David have took this heavy water jug? Because he had to lug it out, you know, from around the people. He had to take it back up on the mountaintop. Why was David so willing to take this seemingly a worthless thing, this thing that could have got him caught, this thing that could have delivered him into the hands of his enemies? Why? Because I believe David said, listen, you thought this spear was going to protect you. And you think, I believe that this water is the thing that sustains you, but it's only my God that can sustain us. Sure, water's good for the body, but God is good for the soul. Brothers and sisters, I believe that David was showing Saul, listen, the spear can't protect you and water can't sustain you. God is the only one that can fill that void on the inside of you. I believe is what Brother David is screaming to us today. I believe David was saying, listen, Saul, you've tried absolutely everything to get me. You've had me in countless encounters that I should have been dead. It's only God that keeps delivering me. And I'm telling you, don't worry about what people think. Don't think that this spear can protect you. And most of all, don't think that anything else but God can sustain you. Brothers and sisters, there's not a political leader in this world that can make you whole. There's not an amount of money or anything else that can make you feel solid or whole on the inside. If there were, then these millionaires and billionaires would stop killing themselves. Then these people that have everything that the world could ever want, people think, why do they keep killing themselves? Why are they in deep depression? If you want to provide for your children, if you want to do the things that God wants you to do, and if I do, then I have good news for us this morning. It is very, very simple. It is trust in the Lord. I believe David, when he held up the spear and he held up the water jug, he was saying, trust in the Lord. Saul, trust in the God that you once served. And that's the best news I have for us this morning, is that we can trust in God because He is there to forgive. He is there to redeem. He is there to love us back to Him again. Don't you ever allow anybody to tell you you've gone too far or you're not good enough. God says you are good enough. And that's my job this morning, to remind the people of God, to remind myself this morning that yes, I've tried other things to sustain me. Yes, I've tried other things to protect me, but it is the presence of the Almighty King that is good enough to protect you and me. It is good enough to sustain you and me. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you this morning. I honor you. I thank you this morning, God, that I feel like I can see David hold up that spear and hold up that water jug and say, trust in the Lord. And God, we want to trust in you. And for those of us, God, that need a little help, I pray that you'll give us more faith. I pray that you'll give us more patience, more peace, more love, more forgiveness. God, I pray that you'll be long-suffering with us. I pray this morning that you will allow us to see your mercy and your grace all the days of our life. And God, I bind every enemy that comes up against my brothers and sisters in this call and that will hear this message. I speak to their family. I speak to them, God, and I call them blessed. I call them redeemed. And God, I call them forgiven. God, I call your people loved. And I thank you that you're a God that comes after us and comes after us and comes after us. I thank you that you this morning love us. You this morning redeemed us. So we honor you for that. And we thank you, God, that when we do fall short, because God, I know I do. I know I fall short, but you're always there to pick us up. You are exactly who you say, and you're a good God. You're a great Father, and you're a loving Father. So this morning we yield to you, Lord. We yield to you and we will trust in you. We will trust in the goodness of God all the days of our life. We pray these things by faith in you and we believe them and we consider them to be done on earth as they already are in the heavens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.